Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalm 145, verse 8. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Now would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Lamentations. We're going to be looking at a number of verses, but we see on the screen chapter 3, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 22, and chapter 3, verse 45. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 8, verse 22, verse 44. It's wonderful for us to be able to be here tonight, realizing that the opportunity to study God's Word and to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ is a magnificent privilege indeed. The Bible informs us that we're to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For us to be able to do that on a daily basis, we have to receive the thinking of Jesus Christ. And we do that by Bible study every single day. I realize that I have the privilege of pastoring a congregation whom I believe individuals are characterized by daily study of the Word of God. The Bible is a fantastic book. It's a book that is alive. And you and I must realize how important it is to have the thinking of our Savior on a day-by-day basis. And we cannot do that unless we're faithful and consistent in receiving the study of the Word of God. In the light of all this that's been said, may we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful this evening that we are your children. We realize that it is so wonderful to know that we're saved by your matchless grace, that we have the assurance that one of these days we'll leave this life, either by means of rapture or by means of physical death. And upon our departure, we'll be absent from this body, and we'll be at home with our wonderful Savior. Help us to understand how great that is. And help us to be aware of the fact that life at the longest here on this earth is so short, no matter how many years you allow us to live on this earth. Help us to understand this evening that one of these days, real soon, all of it will be over here on this earth, and we'll be in our Lord's presence throughout eternity. We are made aware of the fact every single day that eternity is a mighty long time. In fact, it never comes to an end. So help us to focus on the major aspects of life and minor on the insignificant aspects of life. We thank you that you have blessed us and that we are the recipients of all these magnificent blessings. Not only salvation, but logistical provisions on a day-by-day basis. You take care of us and you bless us richly. We ask that you'll be with us in these moments of study this evening, that the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, will be honored by the things we learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know by now that the book of Lamentations is a very interesting book. It is a book that follows the book of Jeremiah. We all understand that God used Jeremiah to pen for us the book of Lamentations. All of us by now are aware of the fact that the book Lamentations means lament, which means to have a burdened heart, a sorrowful heart, a disturbed heart. We see this in our third chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Chapter 3, verse 3, surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places he has made me dwell, like those who have long been dead. Verse 7 of chapter 3, he has walked me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. Then verse 8, even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. On the screen, you see that we also have verse 22. When I came to the third chapter of the book of Lamentations, and I began to look at these verses, beginning with verse 21, I concluded that this is a high spot in the five chapters of the book of Lamentations. So let me read it to you. Verse 22. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. So in between verse 8 and verse 44, we have the high spot of the book of Lamentations in this third chapter. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. In a little while, we'll come back to that verse and we'll read on to the end of the, not on to the end of the chapter, but down to verse 39. But let's go over to verse 44. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 44. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that I've read tonight some very startling verses. We have an emphasis in the book of Lamentations, especially when we get into the fourth chapter, that the condition of the individuals in Jerusalem and around actually were worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Deserving even worse is the title that I have tonight. Deserving even worse. We've learned that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the verses in each chapter begins with a succeeding letter. We've already given you that information, so you ought to remember that. Most of us by now know that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. If you look at chapter 1, you'll discover that in the number of verses that you have here in chapter 1 is 22 verses. If you'll go past chapter 3 and go chapter 2, you'll find that, if you'll go to chapter 2, you will find that there are 22 verses. When you go past chapter 3, which is our passage tonight, and go into chapter 4, you will discover that there are 22 verses. When you go to chapter 5, you will discover that there are 22 verses. Now, this is not hard for us this evening, but I wanted you to be able to see that chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 is not the same. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 are the same. 22 verses in each of those four of the five chapters. We have learned then that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the verses in each chapter begins with a succeeding letter. However, in our chapter for the evening, chapter 3, we find, as you can see, 66 verses, which means that there are three verses that begin with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I don't know what all that's doing for you, but I just wanted you to be sure that anyone should ever ask you about the book of Lamentations, that you'd remember that. It's worth remembering. Jeremiah, here in this wonderful book of Lamentations and in chapter 3, is informing us that he's faced a tremendous amount of trouble. His health is wrecked because of his concern over Jerusalem and because of his concern over the people of Jerusalem. He did not run away, though. He learned that the iniquity of the people was worse in chapter 4, verse 6, than the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jeremiah is sitting in the midst of the ashes and debris, just at the edge of the city, and describes here the horror of that destruction and the carrying away of the people by King Nebuchadnezzar. We must, I believe, face the fact that God is a God who is righteous and a God who is a God of love. In fact, God judges sin. You'll see that we put this in capital letters. And He's righteous in doing so. Just like a loving father and mother is willing to properly chastise a child in disobedience, God in His righteousness and love judges and chastises believers when they disobey. In the third chapter, at first, Jeremiah seems to be complaining that God had ignored him and even his earnest prayers. We've seen this in verse 8, and then we saw it again in verse 44. I'll not reread those verses, but I want you to remember that in verse 8 and in verse 44, we have an emphasis that appears that Jeremiah is complaining here that God is not listening to his prayer. Prophet's plea and how it appeared to him that God had covered himself with a cloud that no prayer could pass through. But he knows how gracious God really is. And that's the reason why we have verses 21 and following. Verse 22 says, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail." And then verse 23, you've already memorized this, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." In a few moments, we're going to be reading verse 21 on down through verse 29, which I've concluded out of all the five chapters of the book of Lamentations, we have here the high point of the entire book. We'll be looking at it in slowly in detail a little bit later. Before we move on, though, let's consider some thoughts about the subject of prayer. We discovered in verse 8 and in verse 44 that Jeremiah is saying, it seems that there's no way that I can get through in prayer. Seems like God has covered himself over with a cloud and he's not listening to what I'm saying. I want to pause for a moment and ask you a question. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever felt like when you prayed that you were not getting through, that your prayers were not going any higher than the ceiling, wherever you may have found yourself in your home or wherever you were, that the prayers were not going through? So before we move on, let's consider some thoughts that I've put together about what about prayer. You may want to take these points down, even though I've not put them in points. I have them listed. What about prayer? First of all, effective prayer comes from the believer inside of God's sphere of power when that prayer is directed to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that that's a lot of information in a brief paragraph. But what about prayer? Effective prayer comes from the believer inside of God's sphere of power, directed to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you this evening that it's not really proper to pray, "Dear Jesus," even though there are times when we find ourselves doing that. The proper way to pray is to pray to the Father. So effective prayer comes from the believer inside of the sphere of power directed to our Heavenly Father. You'll notice that there are about three or four things here. First of all, there's an emphasis upon the believer being properly related to the Lord, which means living inside of the power sphere, which is divine. We call this the love system. We call this the divine power system. We call this by different names. But all of us are aware of the fact that this simply means that we're cleansed of sin, filled with His Holy Spirit, and we're living inside of that framework of God's plan for our individual lives. We call it the sphere of power. And then you'll notice that we're to pray to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. What I've been interested in seeing when prayers are being presented in these last days on television, I'm interested in seeing whether or not the prayers are in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice also that the fourth thing that's been mentioned here in this first paragraph is in the power of the Holy Spirit. That simply means that when we're in fellowship, in harmony with the Lord, and we're praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next section. Our prayers are always to be subject to God's will. You might want to write that down because I feel like it's important that we need to pray in relationship to being properly related to what God's plan is for us, God's will. Our prayers are always to be subject then to God's plan, God's will. The next thing is God's ways are not always our ways. Oftentimes we conclude that what we know is really best. What we know is right. And if God thinks something else, then someone's made a mistake and we haven't made one. But we know better than that because God's ways are not always our ways. The next thing that I would like to mention is that praying in faith hands everything over to God. Now, I don't want to continue this sentence right now, but I want you to see the first part of it. Praying in faith hands everything over to God. In other words, confident in His character and confident in His purposes rather than what we may think. Praying in faith hands everything over to God. That's the reason why I think it's so fantastic. When I deal with individuals like some of those who've been in surgery and those who are going into surgery in the next day or two, I've been able to find and sense the confidence and the trust that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying in faith hands everything over to God, confident in His character and confident in His purposes rather than what we may think. I trust that you're putting this down. The next paragraph says, when the prayer is not answered in the way we expected, in the way we hoped, we must be able to see some things, and that is, God may actually be testing and building our faith. It's important for us to be able to see what prayer is all about. And I felt like it was important for me to share this with you right in the middle of the study of the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. So I said before we move on, let's consider some thoughts about prayer under the title, What About Prayer? As Jeremiah looks back over his shoulder to view the immediate past and mentally to look back and realize that he had predicted the judgment that now has come upon Jerusalem, what we discover is that Jeremiah finds himself now, and I want you to get the mental picture. He finds himself in the rubble and ruin of the city. Just outside of the city has been destroyed, burned, and now he's outside that city weeping. He's writing the Lamentations. Oftentimes when I'm communicating, I wonder just exactly what all is going on in your mind, whether or not you're really understanding the background of what is being presented. If you have a concept of the destruction of Jerusalem and have an impact in your own thinking about what it would be like for a place to be destroyed and how here Jeremiah is sitting just outside of that city in the hot ashes of the rubble and ruin and he's crying, he's weeping, we need to get that picture. We must realize before we even read these verses that the prophet or the prophets all said that God would not utterly destroy this people, but that he would judge them for their sin. God is always faithful. I'm anxious to get into the book of Ezekiel because there's so much there. We'll be starting that 1 week from tonight. The bright spots of all five chapters of the book of Lamentations are now found in chapter 3, 21 to 39. I have to remind myself what to do as I move along in preaching. I reminded myself here to tell you that I need to read for you and we need to read together. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 20. Look at it if you will. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Verse 21, we're in chapter 3. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Have we gotten the mental picture tonight that we saw in verse 8, discouragement? We see over in verse 44 a wonderment in the life of Jeremiah, whether or not God would really hear and answer prayer, that it seemed that the cloud had covered over and he could not get the prayer to pass through. But here we find something that comforts all of us. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. Look at verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I pause for a moment to tell you that Joyce and I are privileged because of the fact that we've been allowed the privilege of studying God's Word and sharing God's Word with you. That it is our responsibility, and we do this every single day. The first thing that we do when we get up in the morning is to have a Bible study, studying the Word of God consistently and faithfully, day after day after day. Then, I don't need to get into all this, but she's on one side of the bed and I'm on the other, and we make the bed together. Now, if you do that, that's okay. If you don't, that's all right too. But that's just the fact that we have the privilege of doing that because both of us are still there. Some of you men have to leave early for work, and so when the bed is made, it is made by your wonderful children, I'm sure, or it's made by the wife herself. I've discovered over these years that studying God's Word on a day-by-day basis, early in the morning, that it is the greatest thing that could ever happen. I don't know what time you have to get up and what time you have to get off to work, but I would encourage you to even miss some time of sleep to get up early and do some Bible study before you head out into the day's activities. If you don't already do that, I would encourage you to do it. If you do it, then I want to thank you because I believe that it'll make all the difference in the world in your life if you'll be consistent and faithful in receiving the thinking of Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis. That's the reason why Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations tells us, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let me read on, verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord, the deliverance of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and be silent, since he has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust, perhaps there is hope. Let him give his cheek to the smiter. Let him be filled with reproach. For the Lord will not reject forever, for he causes grief. For if he causes grief, then he will have compassion according to his abundant loving kindness. Verse 33. For he does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the land, to deprive a man of justice in the presence of the Most High, to defraud a man in his lawsuit. Of these things the Lord does not approve. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Verse 38, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? And then verse 39, why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sins? We must realize before we read, and now we've read these verses, that the prophets all said that God would not utterly destroy this people, but that he would judge them for their sin. What this tells me is that God is faithful. And let me see what I mean by that. Number one, He promised Abraham they would make a nation come from him. What I'm trying to do is to take you back in your mind so that you will transport yourself through the Old Testament, beginning even with the book of Genesis. God promised Abraham they would make a nation come from him. Number two, he promised Moses they would put them into the land. He promised, number three, Joshua, that he would establish them there. Number four, he promised David that there would come one in this his line to reign on the throne forever. I don't know what all is going on in your thinking when I give you these points, but I trust that at this point you're being able to see that we emphasize David's branch. And I trust that that's making even more sense to you now. Let me repeat. Reiteration, repetition is good. He promised Abraham that he would make a nation come from him. Number one. Number two, he promised Moses that he would put them into the land. Number three, he promised Joshua that he would establish them there. Number four, he promised David that there would come one, notice I put it in capital letters, one in his line to reign on the throne forever. And that, of course, I know you know, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, all the prophets said that God would not utterly destroy these folk, but that he would judge them for their disobedience. I don't know. I really don't know just exactly where you are. But I trust after years and years of communication of dispensationalism that you're being able even now to let come into your mind an emphasis upon the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, understanding that the Jews disobeyed God. And we discover that the age of Israel was cut short by 7 years. And the 7 years will be the time of the tribulation, which is the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel. I trust that all of you are able to have this embedded in your thinking, and you're able to see that God has said, I'm not through with the Jews. I have a place and a plan, and you put it down, it's going to come to pass. We've been able to see it here, just in review. So I want to repeat now, let's look. All the prophets said that God would not utterly destroy these people, the Jews, but that he would judge them for their disobedience. Are you familiar with what takes place during the 7 years of tribulation? Are you aware of the fact that that is a terrible time, with the last 3.5 years being worse than even the first 3.5 years? Most of us, I think by now, have this embedded in our thinking. Number six, a faithful remnant has always remained and ultimately will become a great nation again. And you'll notice, God is faithful. When I was thinking about how this message would be presented tonight, I felt like I needed to tell you at the close that God desires that every person in this auditorium this evening and every person who's hearing my voice as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has a plan for your and my maturity. God wants us to advance. God wants us to love Him supremely. God wants us to have the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, which simply means that we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis. And when we do that, we come to a point of spiritual advance, which you and I over the years have called maturity. Now, I don't know what your definition is of spiritual maturity. I don't even know what you think in relationship to your own personal maturity. But I want to give you some thoughts tonight about the subject of maturity. The first thing that I believe is important is that we understand the importance of retaining and maintaining divine viewpoint. You want to put this down, please. It's very important to see it. You and I in life must grow and advance on a day-by-day basis to the point that we are able to retain and maintain divine viewpoint. In other words, we need to have the ability to see from God's vantage point what and how God sees the situation. You have a burden. You have a trial. You have a temptation. Whatever the situation is, you don't want to look at it from horizontal human viewpoint. You want to look at it as God sees it. And the only way that you and I can have divine viewpoint is to have the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think it's doing a disfavor for me to tell you that I visited today by phone with Milton, who's to have his surgery tomorrow. And what I've done over these years is to be able to see how individuals grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and the attitudes that individuals have, no matter what the circumstances are. And I told him today, he'd just gotten back in from some tests and things that were going on, getting ready to leave early in the morning for the surgery. And I said, Milton, you know, I can be with you at the hospital in the morning, or I can choose to stay at home and study to teach God's Word. And you know what he said? Where you need to be is at home studying to teach God's Word. I'm okay. Everything is okay. I just wanted to let you know that from his vantage point, he's told me several times over the past weeks, I know that everything is okay. Whatever God has in store for me, everything is okay. I consider that looking with a divine viewpoint. I look at that from a person who has the ability to say, I'm in God's hands, and whatever God's plan is, that's okay with me. Retain and maintain divine viewpoint. Some of you eager beavers have already been taking the other notes down, and that's okay. But the second point is the ability to eliminate satanic viewpoint. In other words, maturity is not only the ability to see from God's vantage point, but see what Satan's like and turn away from his guidance. So we need to have the ability to eliminate satanic viewpoint. Number three, we're to live in peace with what we cannot change. We must live in peace with what we cannot change. There are some things you and I can change. There are many things that you and I cannot change. And we need to live with peace in our lives with what we cannot change. If you had your way, if I had my way, many things would be different than what they've been. Many of us have faced sorrow, and many of us have faced difficulties, and many of us have faced various physical disabilities, and whatever it is, if we had our way, it wouldn't have been that way. And yet, we live in peace with what we cannot change. Maturity is presented in number four, dependability, God's dependability. God keeps his promise. Number five, follow through on clear-cut decisions. In other words, be sure that while you're living each day, that you're living in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, in fellowship, and follow through on clear-cut decisions. Let me move along. Humility means a willingness to admit failure. In other words, a person who is advanced and who is mature has the ability to see that he or she makes mistakes in life. We realize our faults, our failures. Humility means a willingness to admit our faults and failures and sins. Number seven, face unpleasantness, face frustration, face discomfort, face defeat, without complaint or falling apart. Now, you ought to be writing this down, folks, because there's going to be a day when you'll say, I wish I could remember those points that he gave me on that Wednesday night. And there you are, sitting like you wish this service was over. But I want you to know that this is not a thing that you ought to look upon lightly. Face unpleasantness. Face frustration. Face discomfort. Face defeat without complaining. Have you ever been around a complainer? They're fussing about everything. I mean, if the sun is shining, it's too bright. If it's raining, it shouldn't be raining. If it's cold, it should be hot. If it's hot, it should be cold. In other words, continually complaining about everything. Frustration, unpleasantness, discomfort, defeat, but don't be complaining and don't be falling apart. Someone said, this lady said, I've had a lot of heartaches, I've had a lot of burdens, I have a lot of problems every single day, and I have the opportunity to punch panic buttons and fall apart, and I'm going to do it. Face unpleasantness, frustration, discomfort. Don't fall apart. Don't fuss. Don't complain. Number 8, perseverance. Stay with it in spite of setbacks. In other words, there will be times when you will face life with some particular problem, whatever the problem may be. And I'm not going to stand here today and begin to try to name a bunch of problems. All of us are aware of the fact that there are a lot of problems out there that we face on a day-by-day basis. But persevere in spite of setbacks. Keep on going. Keep on trusting the Lord. Keep on depending upon Him. Number 9, notice this one. Consider long-term gain over short-term pleasures. Think about that. Consider long-term gain over short-term pleasures. And now number 10, control. There are times when we are with companions, children, friends, and things are not going very well. Things are actually subjects of disturbance. Differences. But you notice what I'm saying here. Have some control. Settle the differences without violence, without ugliness, without destruction. Is that needed between husband and wife? Of course. Is it needed between daughter and mother or mother and son? Of course. All of this, we must realize that we have to have in life the sense of spiritual maturity, where it brings about control. And control simply means that every single day we find ourselves in harmony with the Lord. We find ourselves admitting our faults and failures along the way, having short-term situations, realizing that when we fail, we admit it and get right back in harmony with God and move along in spiritual maturity. You'll notice, going all the way back to the very first point, and that is, Jeremiah realized that they deserved even worse. And you're saying, deserved even worse? The city has been destroyed. He's sitting out there in the hot ashes just outside the city crying, writing this read that we're reading here tonight. Deserving even worse. Whatever your situation in mind is tonight, however you may think that it's very, very bad, I want you to know that we really deserve worse. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we are aware of the fact tonight that each day we live, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how difficult circumstances life is, we realize that we actually deserve worse. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of your glory. All of us realize that we fail so continuously. And yet we're thankful that we're willing and able to admit our faults and failures, and that you're always there ready to forgive and cleanse and put us back in right relationship. Tonight, help us understand the importance of living our lives in the proper plane, on the proper plane. Living our lives in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be able to see tonight that through the things we've analyzed that you have a plan for us to have joy and peace and victory. And we're not to be living a life of frustration and confusion and a life of bitterness. Help us to see that on a day-by-day basis. And tonight, as we come to these last moments of the service, first of all, we want to thank you for salvation and that we realize that we're saved by your grace and not worthy of it at all. And there may be someone tonight who's never accepted Jesus Christ, who's hearing this voice. We pray that they will understand that God loved them so much, that Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world, and that we have a resurrected Christ. He not only died for us, but he was buried and came forth out of the grave, victorious over sin and the grave and hell. And Father, we're thankful that Jesus is the way of salvation. He even said that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We pray that there will be those who understand tonight that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's so simple. The Scripture says, whosoever, that means anyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for salvation through Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will help us to understand that while we're still on this earth, that you have a plan and a purpose for us and help us to live our lives in proper relationship to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.